I know that some of you do. With our dog, we have a golden retriever, and they've turned my dog into a bear. You know, because for something with the kids, we just believe that the entire family ought to be a part of ministry. So we turned our dog into a bear today, I guess. So that's what's going on over there. But if you were to know her, you would know her as the nicest person I think that I've ever met in my life, and some of you know that. You know, she's an incredible gal. This morning I'm walking out the door, right? She's whistling at me. It's like, come on, honey, the neighbors are going to hear, you know, don't do that, you know, kind of stuff. And or she would constantly say to me, ongoing, so her thing, hey, what can I do today? How can I help you? You know, that's my wife. That's how incredibly nice that she is. And then she manages all of our budget. So she's the one who takes care of all the bills, all the stuff. And I'm the one asking, do you think we could, like, afford this or that, you know? And here, some time ago, she says to me, if I go out to lunch, she knows it before I get home. She says, how was lunch today? And she just, you know, because she's looking online, right? And some time ago, she says to me, do you know how much you spent in coffee last week? This is one of my spiritual gifts, drink coffee. So anyway, and so it'd be like her to say, you know, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it, you know, we'll just skip dinner for the next week, you know, to pay for your coffee bill or something like that, you know. So that's how incredibly nice that she is. However, if you say something to her negative about me, she changes. And that smile that is on her face, don't try it. I'm telling you, it disappears, and her lips go tight. You watch closely, because the bead of sweat will start to form right here. I'm just telling you that. Her eyes will change. They glaze over. They bug out. This little vein right here, pop. And I don't know how it happens, but her fingernails automatically grow. And she's no longer Jen the nice person. She's Jen the slasher. This incredibly nice woman, nicest woman I've ever known in my life, changes like that. And if you say something about her, I'm the male version of everything I just described. Do you know why that's true? Do you know why all that's true? And if you're married, maybe you know what I'm talking about. You know why that's true? That's true because I'll tell you what, we are one. That's why. That's why that's true. But this oneness thing, it goes beyond, you know, our marriage and our family, and really it's a part of this faith community and faith communities that we've been a part of in the past, where we enjoy the benefits of being one. In our married life, we've experienced that. Faith community, people in the faith community we've been attached to, this one, for the last 28 years now, almost starting 29, have been a part of our life, and because we're one in the body of Christ that we're going to talk about in just a little bit, we've experienced encouragement, and we've experienced people coming alongside of us and saying, like, you can do that, and you can make that, and we're praying for you because we are one. Early in our marriage, in another community, I mean, somebody, I don't know who they are to this day, drove by our house and opened up our mailbox and dropped in an envelope of cash and wrote Jen's name on it for a need. That's the benefit of what? Everybody say it. Being one. But there's something I want you to see, and we're going to take a look at it today as we kind of peek into the book of Acts and the first church, the early church, Acts chapter 2, verse 14, where we're going to see what happens when a community comes together, lives as one. We're going to talk about that. What happens is not only are needs met, and not only are people encouraged, but something spiritual happens And the body of Christ, the kingdom, begins to expand. So chapter 2 of Acts, verse 42, we're going to take a look. We're going to read it. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Watch what happens. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Just imagine what that community was like. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I'd like for you to read just that last part with me. Would you do that? And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You see, this is what I want us to see. As we live out our life in this community as, everybody say one. As we live out our life in this faith community as one, something spiritual happens. As we encourage one another, as we provide for one another, the Lord does something, and it's this. He adds to the kingdom. This happens, so this will happen. Are you with me? Now begin to look at the book of Acts and that passage just past week or just over a week ago. And begin to see something I'm not even sure I really focused on as intently before. This happened. They lived out their life as one in this community, met one another's needs, encouraged one another, took care of their financial needs, their physical needs. This happened, and then this happened. What happened down here? The Lord added to the kingdom those who are being saved. You see, when we live out our life as a faith community, as we should, when these things happen, this happens. You know, so often I think that we get our focus in kind of the wrong area. I mean, we're humans. We can do that. Hey, Jesus came so I could live rich, fat, and healthy, and wealthy, and all this kind of stuff. And that's not true. Jesus came so that we could be saved, so we could experience life eternal. I'm thankful for all his blessings. I'm thankful for all these things that happen up here, for the mutual encouragement that we are called into and providing for one another's needs that we are called into. I am thankful for all of that. Thank God for all of that. But let's remember, that happened so that what? So that the kingdom is expanded. What's taking place here is simple. You know what it is? It's the church living as the church. That's what's going on. It's the church living as the church. You've experienced it. I pray you've experienced it. The encouragement that goes on within a faith community. Acts 2 gives us a peek into what happens when we live as the church. The body of Christ is one. Just listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And listen to how many times it's just about one. The human body has many parts. But the many parts make up, everybody say one. One whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into, ready? One body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only, ready? One body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. See, when we celebrate one, if you're married, within our marriages, there are benefits to that. We experience oneness. When we celebrate and when we experience oneness within the faith community, within the body of Christ, something spiritual happens, and it's this, and he added to the number daily those who are being saved. This happens so that this can happen. Why did Jesus come? So we could be saved. Why did Jesus come? So we could live in the freedom that only he can offer. And when the church becomes a church and starts living out as the church, when these things happen, I don't understand all of it. I don't. But something spiritual happens, and Jesus begins to work in us and through us, and people are added to the kingdom daily. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. All of you together. And we're different. Each one of us. In fact, look to your neighbor. Go ahead and right now. And here's your freedom. You tell them they're different. Go ahead. Do it right now. You are different. You are different. Because we are all different. But we all make up what? One body. And as we live out this one body, like we just read, something happens. His kingdom is expanded. Another version says this. Now all of you together are Christ's body. And each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Do not miss those words and the power behind them. All of you together, all of us together are part of the body and a necessary part of it. You see what happens is the enemy comes to you and goes like, you're just not there yet. Where's Stacia? Are you here? Are you there? You are over there. I mentioned it when you were out because you, like what you said was dead on. That's what the enemy will come in and do. Like you just haven't made it yet. You're just not there yet, you know, or the giftedness that God has given to you, that Jesus has given to you, right? You go like, that's just like, you know, what am I supposed to do? And the enemy has tricked us, some of us, into that false thinking. Like, if you were only this, then you could do that. And I say, we have to celebrate our oneness, which means that we understand where Jesus has gifted each one of us, and we begin to act like the church, and we live as one body, living out as he intended for us to do so in this community, and something happens, the kingdom is expanded. Romans chapter 12, Paul says it this way, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts, but one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with such faith, as much faith as God has given you. I thank God for the gifts in this community. I thank God for what we just saw up here with these, with Gateway Counseling expanding. You do not want me to counsel you. You know, I mean, crisis counseling, that's one thing, but you know, ongoing meeting. I thank God for the giftedness that he has given to some people. And I thank God for your gift, each one of you. As we live together, as we act out in community, living as the church, acting as the church, here's what we see. His kingdom is expanded. That's why I'm so excited about Day of Hope, because it's this community coming together, and others this year are joining us and reaching out into our community with the good news of the gospel, doing what we can, and allowing Jesus to do his work. Let me ask you this question. What's your favorite sport? Now, I know, like, some of you are going to say, like, the Hawks, you know, and you got the DVR thing going, God bless you, or whatever team that you have. And for some of you, it's soccer, and for some of you, it's like my granddaughter plays volleyball, right? So, like, that's my favorite sport right now. And so, anyway, what's your favorite sport? Team sport. Let me just, in your mind for just a moment, just lift everybody off that team except your favorite player. And if you're a Hawks fan, and if Russell Wilson is your favorite player, just remove everybody from the team except for Russell Wilson. How do you think he's going to do? It's going to be a really bad day, isn't it? It is. Because it's not just one person. It's the team coming together and functioning as one. We're to encourage and support each other, hold one another accountable for our beliefs and actions. You hold me accountable. I hold you accountable. We encourage one another towards spiritual growth, becoming stronger in our relationship with Him and being effective for His purposes. And there's one word for this. You know what that one word is? Who, you guess it, you get free coffee. It's discipleship. That's it. And I walk around this campus, and I see it happening all the time with our kids, and I walk over to Moms and More. Oh, man, I love that group because they have incredible food. And so I go say hi. But what's happening there is that. And it's happening over and over again as we hold one another accountable. Growing in our faith in Jesus. As we live out our life in the church, in this community, and act like the church, Acts chapter 2, something happens. His kingdom is expanded. And so what we read in Acts chapter 2, a couple things. People coming together, fellowship, devoted to the teaching, taking care of one another's needs and so on. And then what we see is this huge involvement in this area of finances. And I want to talk about that for just a moment. Verse number 45 says, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching about money, and he just says this, like, where our treasure is, that is where our heart will be. Jesus talks about money. He talks about caring for one another. But I want to leave you with just a big idea, if you will, that you'll be able to memorize like that. And it's true and it's powerful. Here it is. When our focus is upward, we live outward. Are you with me? When our focus is upward on Jesus, we live outward. Everybody read it with me. When our focus upward, we live outward. One more time. When our focus is upward, we live outward. Okay, take it off the screen. I'm going to test you. Okay, are you ready? When our we live outward. It's something natural that happens. And that's what we are seeing in Acts chapter 2. When we focus on who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives, it's just natural that our focus is outward. When we focus on him, we live outward. We begin to see people around us. We begin to see needs, not just in our community, but needs out there, people who have yet come to faith. And what we experience is, and he added daily those who are being saved. This happens, so this can happen. But Jesus also talks about giving. You see, what we don't read in Acts chapter 2, there's no grabbing of resources saying, this is mine, and I earned it, and I worked hard for this. No, it was all part of growing his kingdom. Giving isn't always glitzy. I mean, it's not. You are faithful givers, and some of us are making that step, maybe even today for the first time. Giving isn't always glitzy, is it? I mean, here was it 2 or 3 years ago, thing in our county. What would they call that? I got it here somewhere. The Extreme Home Makeover. That's what I was trying to think of. You forgot about it. Extreme Home, remember that? If you weren't here, like it happened in our county, happens around, you know, like that's pretty glitzy, and you know, that's pretty awesome. But it's not always like that. More often than that, our giving is part of a larger picture that we may or may not see. In our talents and in our gifts and in our finances. Now, in this area of giving, there's a lot of debate within Christian circles about whether or not tithing is New Testament or biblical, or are we bound by that? And I want to just take us away from that just a little bit. So you can have all your debates and all this kind of stuff. I practice tithing. I was raised that way. I do. I believe in tithing as a start. And I'll share that with you in just a moment. But there was these two guys who were lost, and they were on an island, and they were stuck, and there was no food or no water, no resources at all. And one guy says to the other, "Don't worry, we're going to get off this island, and we're going to be just fine, because I give $10,000 a week to my church." And the other guy says, "Well, what do you mean? You know, we don't have to worry about. We're all stuck on an island. We have no water. We have no food. We have nothing. Who cares how much you give the church?" He goes, "Look, I make $100,000 a week. I give 10%. I give $10,000 to the church. We're going to be just fine. We're going to be found." He says, "How? That doesn't make sense. You know, what does $10,000 a week have to do with where we are today?" And the guy says, "Look, I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe 10%. To my church. I will tell you, my pastor will find us on this island. I'm telling you that right now." So anyway, let's talk about giving for just a few moments. Why? Not because this church needs your money. I pray we can set that thought aside. Because there are lost people out there, that's why. In Acts chapter 2, this happened. And people gave generously of their time and their resources, and they gave of their financial resources. This all happened. And because this happened, the kingdom was expanded. Because this happened, people came to faith. That's what this is all about. And Jesus just asks us this really simple question, like, where's your heart? When you focus upward, do you live outward? Where's your heart? It's a matter of the heart. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, "You must each decide in your hearts how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully." It'd just like be awesome the next time we call the host team down, you know, to receive our tithes and offerings, our giving, that we just like break out in laughter. Yeah, that went over really well there, didn't it? We gave cheerfully. Why? Not because you're giving to a church, but because people are going to come to faith. God will generously provide all you need. Then you always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. And just in verse 6, right before that, Paul says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. And you see, when we go to the Day of Hope, which we just talked about, and the generous planting that you've done, we just release that, don't we? Knowing that God's going to take all the funds, all the gifts, hygiene bags, haircuts, all that's going on. Those are seeds that are being planted, and as a result, people are going to come to faith. I believe that. We may not know them, and we may not meet them in this life, but I believe there'll be a day when we'll be in our forever home in eternity, and we're going to meet people who were touched because people gave. It's not about anything else except for seeing the kingdom grow. You see, far more important than this debate on 10% or 15% or whatever is this: people who trust their lives to Jesus, who have received the generous gift of God, eternal life through Jesus, people who are being transformed by Christ, understand that to be more like Him is to be generous in all of our life. As we focus upward, we live outward. We serve a generous God. And we will freely give of our time, of our talent, whatever that is. We'll find our place in the community, living out the giftedness that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, has entrusted to you, whatever that is. We live that out. We generously give of our resources. And as a result, the kingdom is expanded. This happens, so this will happen. I pray we will never forget that. Let me give you just some quick points on giving, and I'm going to ask you a really important question. So the Bible says that we're to be people who give regularly. It's part of our rhythm. I'm not going to read the scripture. You can read it when you get home. You can write it down. You can go back to the video and get it on 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. We do so secretly because it's not like how much I give or how much you give. It's done secretly. It's before God. It's before Jesus. We give sacrificially. We give based on our earnings with God's priorities in mind, Matthew chapter 6. That's so important because it's all about seeing his kingdom expand. Let me ask you a question. When your body is malfunctioning, do you know it? Most of the time, the answer is yes. I understand sometimes no. Most of the time, the answer is yes. Your body's malfunctioning, and you know it because something is manifested, right? So, like, I'm a runner, and I'm dealing with plantar fasciitis. Now, I don't know if you ever dealt with that or not, but listen, that hurts. And I'm running yesterday, and it's hurting. I've got some pain and so on. I know it because my foot hurts. Do you know when the body is malfunctioning, spiritual body, this community, do you know what happens? The Holy Spirit comes into our life. He says, I want to fix that in you. You're part of the body. I want to fix that. He begins to speak to us. I want to do that in your life. I want to take care of that in your life. I want you to respond to me, and you've heard me say it so many times. Right? When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, don't push it away. We call it conviction, right? Embrace it, because that's just Jesus wanting to do something in your life, to give to you something that maybe the enemy is stealing away, like we heard from Stacia. And I'm just going to ask you one question this morning as we kind of pray, wrap up, and it's this. What step can you take today to move toward living out community? What step can you take today that will lead you to living out in community? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? See, I think that for lots of us, the enemy has come in and he's discouraged you from living out that giftedness that Jesus has given to you. Because you haven't seen it as important. You haven't seen it as important. And the enemy has stolen away from the community because he's gotten into your life and you begin to believe him. And today you're going to take a step and say, you know what? God's given me this gift, whatever that is. And I'm going to take a step toward that. For some of us, it's going to be in this area of financial giving. You go, well, I don't have much. Hey, the widow didn't have much either. But she responded, didn't she? And so I'm going to invite you in just a moment. We're going to stand. We're going to pray. Just say, Jesus, what would you say to me? You see, it's not so that this community can say that we've done this or we've done that. That's not what this is about. God, if we ever do that, forgive us for that. You hold me accountable for that. It's so that the kingdom will be expanded. That's what this is all about. And Jesus added to the church daily those who are being saved. As this community in Acts chapter 2 lived this out, this happened. That's my prayer. I pray your prayer and our desire together. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to pray. And I'm just going to invite you in your own heart today. Maybe you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior. And so all this talk about being a part of a community, like you go, like, that's weird. You know, what's that all about? Well, what that's all about is saying, Jesus, I trust in you. And I'll put my faith in you, and you respond to him, maybe even what you're sensing right now. There's nothing you can earn. It's so true. Because Jesus already paid that price. And it's just stepping into his community by saying, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. I want to live for you. That's what that's about. Some of you may make that step this morning. Some of us may take that step to be involved in the community, whatever that looks like. You may be a person who's gifted with intercessory prayer. Are you praying? Maybe it's an area of giving. Maybe it's an area of teaching. Maybe it's an area of encouragement. I don't know. All I know is when we live together as one, living this out, Jesus does something, he expands his kingdom. So, Father, I pray, would you just speak to each one of us right now? Lord Jesus, I pray you speak to me. Holy Spirit, I just release you to speak to each one of us today. God, where is it in our own life that we can live out community? What is it you have called me to do today? And I just come against the enemy who brings in discouragement, all kinds of thoughts that like we're just not worthy or we're just not gifted here or there. I just come against that. And just release your Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And that each one of us will take that step towards you. And that together, this faith community will live and act in the way that you've called us to do so, so that your kingdom will be expanded. Now again, we pray for this weekend, this Saturday, Day of Hope. So many people coming onto this campus, and we get the chance to live out what we've been talking about the last number of weeks. So I would pray that would happen. May your kingdom be expanded as a result, I pray. Not this church, not any church, but your kingdom. That's what we pray for, and that's what we lift up. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now,